Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vitality Explorer podcast. My name is Dr. Alan Mishra. I'm a sports medicine specialist and orthopedic surgeon, and also the founder of Vitality Explorers. Our goal with the podcast, as always, is to optimize vitality one person at a time. We typically start with a quote, and this is one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite movies, The Shawshank Redemption, and that was actually written by Stephen King. And here's the quote. Quote, "Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. So our goal with the podcast, again, is to improve your physical, mental, social, and or spiritual well-being. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, please leave us a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and please share this widely. What we're going to try to do again, and this is our second week doing this, is sort of flip this upside down and begin with some vitality action suggestions and then dive into the data behind these suggestions. And so here is the primary suggestion for this week, and that is to cultivate and maintain an optimistic outlook. And this is a very, very powerful way to enhance your health and vitality. And here are three specific ways that you can enhance your optimism. Number one, practice gratitude. Just acknowledge and appreciate the positive aspects of your life. And those can consist, if you do that, it can consistently and significantly enhance your mood and perspective. That's number one. Number two, reframe your negative thoughts. Reframing these thoughts is just a fantastically powerful way to develop optimism. And this is it. You need to challenge yourself when you start thinking negatively. Stop and try to reframe those bad thoughts into something more positive whenever possible. And finally, the third suggestion about how to enhance optimism is to surround yourself with positivity. Okay, spend time with people and media. That means like, you know, whatever you're consuming on your phone, TV, in your computer, but surround yourself with people and media that are positive. Be proactive and try to find those people who and those things and those, you know, media that you consume that can have a positive influence on you, the people who uplift you, the people who inspire you. But nurture your sense of optimism because your future health and longevity depend upon it. Okay. So again, you're listening to the Vitality Explorer podcast. All the data and all the references can be found on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. And let's dive into why we went with these vitality suggestions this week. And the first topic is, can optimism hack your DNA? Or how an attitude can change your DNA expression? And DNA expression just means, you know, how your DNA works to produce the proteins that are encoded in it. But here's kind of some interesting things to consider. I think we should think of as optimism as a vital health asset. And here's why. Higher levels of optimism are associated with a lower risk of heart and lung disease, neurodegenerative disease, and all-cause mortality, meaning like you're going to die. So if we're talking about how to enhance your vitality on this podcast, having some optimism is important. I hear it. I've thought about this a lot, and I was very excited that this paper called The Epigenome-Wide Analysis of DNA Methylation and Optimism in Women and Men helped me understand that only 30% of our disposition with regard to optimism is fixed in our genes. So research has demonstrated that the rest of our perspective on life, 70%+, is modifiable. And that could be simple things like we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, or writing down some exercises. But again, reframing your thoughts, practicing gratitude, and surrounding yourself with positivity. Those are all specific actionable ways to improve your sense of optimism. And this data, this paper that we're going to talk about here in this part of the podcast, comes from a study of almost 4,500 women and men. And the goal was to try to understand the potential epigenetic mechanisms that underlie the observations associated with optimism and health. And remember, we've talked about epigenetics before in the Vitality Explorer podcast, but that is the study of the molecules that surround the double helix of our DNA. So things like methyl groups, which is just a chemical group, it can be sort of a little series of carbon and hydrogen atoms that can be on the outside of our DNA is one example of a molecule that sits on top of that DNA and can act like a switch. It has the ability to turn off or on the production of the proteins that are encoded in the genes. And on the Vitality Explorer Substack site, you can see it's sort of a graphical cartoon of a methyl group sticking out around the DNA. But what's important is researchers in this particular investigation found that optimism is linked via epigenetics, via these little molecules sitting on top of our DNA, to a reduced risk of those diseases that we talked about and other things, including psychiatric and neurodegenerative disorders, cardiovascular disease, and even cancer, okay? So this is fascinatingly important data, right? And they're trying to explain why optimism matters. And I don't think we have a full picture of exactly how optimism changes our epigenetics, but there's some speculation as to why optimism matters to our overall sense of health. I think what they, here are the three things that they suggested in the paper. Number one, it can serve as a buffer against the stressors of life. Number two, optimism can stimulate us to execute on better health behaviors, such as like exercising or just eating well. And even optimism, this is the third reason, can enhance communication between patients and their doctors. Maybe some people don't want to know, or they don't want to hear about it, but I think that was an interesting component of this. We clearly need more work done to understand why optimism enhances our health and our well-being. But I think that the paper that we reviewed here today adds to that growing body of scientific data that suggests our attitude, our perspective on life can affect our risk of disease and even death. And remember, 70%+ of this is under our control. It's not all fixed. Not all of, if you think of yourself as a pessimist or an optimist, either way, only about 30% of that is connected to your genes. So there is some underlying disposition to being one way or the other, but the other 70% is modifiable. And I think we can think of that as our optimism or our sense of optimism as a vitality skill. And if we think of that as a skill, you can also think of optimism as a way to positively hack your DNA, okay? Remember the three things we talked about are ways to improve your optimism. Number one, practice gratitude. Just be thankful for whatever is good in your life. There's something that may be good in your life, but be grateful and practice that. Number two, try to reframe your negative thoughts. Number three, surround yourself with positivity. But just spend some time today nurturing your sense of optimism. Your future health and longevity depend upon it. So again, you can see the links to all the data and the more of the structures that you can see on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But this was a paper published in 2023 by Wang et al. That we talked about. Now, we're going to continue on the theme. And for the podcast moving forward, we may have themes per week, but this week's theme is going to be focused on optimism and health and also hope. But the second thing we're going to talk about is a very specific paper about how optimism unlocks your heart health. And these two together, the first one about how you can hack your DNA and why a positive attitude can be the key to your heart, is really, really important, especially for anybody listening to this who has heart disease, because one person dies every 33 seconds from heart disease in the United States, according to the CDC, or the Center for Disease Control. It's the number one cause of death for both men and women, and it costs a staggering $200 billion per year annually. So obviously there's a million ways to treat or prevent heart disease, but I think we need an all-in strategy. And that is why we're going to talk about the second paper, and that is the impact of optimism training intervention on biologic measures associated with cardiovascular health. And that's data from a randomized controlled trial. That's why I think this is valuable. So again, when Vitality Explorers, it was founded on the concept of identifying specific actionable ways to enhance our vitality, but too often we forget that our attitude, or just the way we think about life, matters, and especially matters when it comes to our physical and especially our mental well-being. But the paper above analyzed an optimism training program versus a control group in 61 patients, and all these patients had coronary artery disease, heart disease. They're sort of middle-aged people between 35 and 60 years old. And the participants were randomized to either an 8-week, 2-hour a week, in-person group sessions, which were designed to promote optimism in the setting of heart disease. So the people who got this sort of intervention arm focused on, number one, positive reframing of the challenging life events. Number two, cultivating optimism in social relationships. Number three, interpreting future cardiac health in a positive manner. So again, this is similar to what we were talking about at the first part of this podcast. The control group had a similar 8-2-hour group session that provided extensive education about heart disease and risks associated with it, including number one, eating a healthy diet, number two, optimizing exercise, number three, smoking cessation, and number four, alcohol moderation. So they're comparing these two groups, one that got some optimism training and the other one that got basically the standard version of how you're supposed to treat or prevent heart disease. And here's what's interesting. Four measures of chronic inflammation and cardiovascular health were evaluated in both of these groups. And these things included these four. Number one, high sensitivity C-reactive protein, also known as hsCRP. And this particular molecule that you can measure in your blood is associated, elevated levels are associated with heart disease and progression of heart disease. So IL-6 was the second one, interleukin-6, and that's associated with all-cause cardiovascular mortality. Fibrinogen was the third one, which is associated with clot formation. And the fourth one is irisin. And that's one that the lower levels predict a severity of heart disease. You can see a little graphic on the Vitality Explorer Substack site that goes over these. And these were all significant to the value of 0.001 or better. So these were very powerfully connected in terms of significant improvements in all four in the optimism intervention group compared to the control group. And here's the conclusion of the study. Quote, this study demonstrated that a comprehensive optimism training intervention for patients with coronary artery disease led to significant medium to large effect size improvements in biologic measures associated with inflammation and heart health. That's pretty impressive, right? So they had 8 2-hour sessions, total of 16 hours, and they got significantly better biomarkers for heart disease. So other studies have confirmed that optimism predicts lower levels of inflammation as measured by CRP or C-reactive protein. Here's the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations of this particular study. Optimism is clearly connected to lower levels of systemic body inflammation. That's not just this study, but multiple sources. And again, here's two specific things that we've talked about and we're going to just hammer home in this podcast. Is trying to reframe your thoughts or your ideas about whatever challenging life events you experience this week. Cultivate optimism in your relationships with your friends, family, and colleagues, okay? They can all help you as you move forward in life and try to understand, how to lead your most optimistic life, all right? Again, this comes from a study that was published actually a few years ago, but it was called The Impact of Optimism Training on Biologic Measures Associated with Cardiovascular Health. And again, it was a prospective randomized trial, which is a pretty, pretty powerful piece of evidence. We're going to finish this week's Vitality Explorer podcast based on an interesting piece of data that we found about Pandora's box. And for all those who are classics experts out there, I welcome your comments about this. I didn't get a chance to read a lot of the classics other than after AP English in high school and a few courses in college. Most of my college and med school were obviously focused on science and math, but I found this fascinating. Pandora's box is something we all have heard about, and that's part of the Greek mythology associated with that was the story is Pandora was created as part of a scheme to punish mankind because Prometheus stole fire and then he gave it to the humans. And Zeus gave Pandora a box that was not supposed to be opened. It was actually a jar in the original writings, but she was not supposed to open it. But when she did, all the sorrows, all the miseries that were sealed were released into the world. And unfortunately, and this is where it gets a little sticky here, and maybe I'm over my skis on this one, but Pandora immediately closed the jar or the box to prevent any more of those negative forces. But according to some retelling of this famous story, hope was left behind in the box. And I think it's time that we reopen Pandora's famous box and let hope out to enhance our health and vitality. And this is going to be done, again, if I'm over my skis on the telling this story, let me know. But I think we need more hope in our world. And here's some scientific data to suggest why it's valuable. And this comes from a study of almost 13,000 adults. Quote, and here's the study, the role of hope in subsequent health and well-being for older adults, an outcome-wide longitudinal approach. And here, similar to optimism, hope is sort of a cousin of optimism. Hope is typically associated with being in a difficult situation, whereas optimism is more of a generalized version of how you view life. But higher levels of hope were associated with the following findings. Number one, lower risk of cancer. Number two, lower risk of all-cause mortality or death. Number three, fewer sleep problems. Number four, higher psychological well-being. And number five, higher life satisfaction and sense of purpose. So the data from this paper suggests more hope enhances our vitality and our longevity. And so here's how they measured hope. They asked them to these several questions, but basically these four, and then they sort of reverse coded their answers into an overall measurement or hope scoring index. And here are the statements that people were asked to either agree or disagree with on a scale. Number one, I feel it is impossible for me to reach the goals that I like to strive for. Number two, the future seems hopeless to me and I can't believe that things are changing for the better. Number three, I don't expect to get what I really want. Number four, there is no use in really trying to get something I want because I won't probably get it. Here are two quotes from the paper to consider. This study highlights associations between hope and a variety of physical, mental, and social well-being outcomes, which suggests that hope is an important area of future inquiry and practice in public health. The second quote, developing and testing hope-based health and well-being interventions also merits further study. So, interestingly, the following parameters were associated with higher levels of hope according to the study. Number one, physical and mental health. Number two, sense of purpose. Number three, social relationships. So this is fascinating because I think this paper suggests that hope is bi-directional. And that means we are more hopeful when our physical and mental health is good. That makes sense. But we're also more hopeful when we know our sense of purpose and have strong, meaningful social connections. We're not fully in control of all these parameters. We do, however, have some agency over our health, purpose, and social vitality. We can choose to work to improve them. And here are three specific vitality action suggestions that I think can help spark your sense of hope. Number one, take a walk or spend some time today doing some deep breathing exercises to improve your physical or mental wellness. Number two, spend 1,000 seconds, about 17 minutes, thinking about your primary purpose for being on the planet. Number three, engage with friends, colleagues, or family to deepen your social connections. Any or all of these activities should help boost your sense of hope and therefore improve your overall physical and mental well-being. So this week we've been talking a lot about optimism and hope. I know these are not hardcore science things. These are not exercise. These are not, you know, specific things we talk about very much, but we should. We should be talking more about how to spark hope. We should be talking more about how to work on our sense of optimism. So remember that quote from Stephen King, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time, dare to be vital.